Welcome to Truth on Trial. Get ready to explore the intersection of faith, law, business, and life from a biblical worldview. I'm your host, Judge Phil Ginn.
Stacy, thank you so much for being with us on Truth on Trial. For our listening audience, this is Stacy Washington, who is a great friend of mine. We met through an interview on her radio program that airs on Sirius.
Sirius XM 125.
Yeah, 125. Yeah. And you need to plug in. She's got a great book. Tell us about your book, Stacy.
It's called Eternally Cancel Proof. And I wrote it because a lot of people have asked me why I would be voting for Republicans, because the reputation is that they're racist and people tend to notice that I'm permanently tanned, which is what I call it, but I'm black. And so, you know, instead of asking me what policies I like, or they just, well, how could you vote for the Republicans? And I always say, because I'm a Christian. Yeah. And I actually printed out both party platforms and put them in binders and went through them word by word, page by page, to see if I was right. And I was pretty sure I was right, but I wanted to see exactly how they compared. The Democrats' party platform from 2020 was longer than the Republican one, because it's full of flowery words that mean nothing. Yeah. And a lot of inferences to Marxism, which is really, it's the open door, because this election cycle, they've really gone full Marxist.
It really is.
The Republican Party platform from 2020 refers to God. It refers to our providential heritage. I mean, it's beautifully written, actually, for it to be a party platform. But it does the most important thing for me, my number one voting issue. I'm a single issue voter. It's abortion.
Okay.
Abortion has eliminated 16 million black babies and over 60 million babies in the United States. But we've had hundreds of millions of babies destroyed worldwide. And it is the number one killer of human life in America. And so I have to have that as my issue. I wrote about that and some other things because I want people to know that they can vote and live for Christ. And if they get canceled, you can cancel the body. You can cancel my social media. But you can't cancel eternity for me. And that's what the book is about.
You know, Stacy, you brought up a subject that's really often troubled me. And when I first started out as being a lawyer, that's when the idea that we could eradicate sickle cell anemia by sterilizing folks who were the carriers. Of course, all of them are African-American.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was a good idea, maybe, you know, when in somebody's mind somewhere that's the way to do it. But, you know, this whole idea of abortion with Margaret Sanger was really eugenics.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at the statistical background of it, these abortion clinics are in black neighborhoods and under impoverished neighborhoods. And guess who they're trying to keep from coming into the world?
Black babies, Hispanic babies. In fact, in Texas, you can find one of the largest Planned Parenthoods in America, and it is in It's newly built about 10 years ago, and it's at the nexus of a majority black county and a majority Hispanic county. And right where those two counties meet, they built this Planned Parenthood mega center. And so they have a target audience, and it's me, it's my daughters, it's anyone who's black. But honestly, it's nothing new under the sun. Abortion is just our modern day iteration of sacrificing babies to the god of Molech, the demon god of Molech, which is present in the Bible. It's the reason why the Canaanites were destroyed. The reason that God sent the Israelites to clean out the Canaanites is because they had been practicing baby sacrifice for over 400 years. And so if you want judgment, you kill the unborn, and their blood will cry out. And eventually, in his timing, the Lord will judge. So for us as Christians, we have to vote for obedience. And so that means voting for Donald Trump, who some people, you know, they're very offended by him, but I find him delightful. He has a sparkling personality. I've met him a number of times. I've been to Mar-a-Lago a bunch of times. And I believe that just like God used David, he used Gideon, the least of his tribe.
Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar.
The least tribe, and he was the least of that tribe, and God used him. Yeah. He used Nebuchadnezzar. God will use anybody, and he usually uses the most flawed, so he can demonstrate to us that we're not righteous or perfect or the likely. God doesn't see us and say, "Oh well, you know, this is a bunch of sinners except for Stacy." Oh no, no, he sees me through the lens of what Jesus did on the cross, only because I've accepted Christ. Without Christ, I am just as bad as David or Trump or anyone else. So we're not voting for people. We're voting for policies, and we're voting for or against the word of God.
Well, you know, we try not to be too political here in terms of candidates. Mm-hmm. However, we're very political in terms of issues.
Yes.
And we let people figure out, and it's like you say, if you look at, you can pretty easily figure out at, who SES is plugging by the way we look at issues.
Yeah.
But I would say to you that, you know, if I was going to elect Donald Trump as the pastor of my church, I probably would vote no.
I would not.
We're not electing him to be the pastor. He's not my chaplain. He's the president. And so.
And you'll have more religious freedom in your church if he's elected than you will.
Really,
the others.
As I go around, and I'm sure you will agree with this, I think abortion, all of the moral issues that we see emanate from the fact that the church is not utilizing its ability and its authority to the extent that it could. But one of the main concerns that I think Christians ought to be about in any election is the ability to promulgate the gospel.
Absolutely.
That very First Amendment to our Bill of Rights, the very first issue in Amendment number one is freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not to protect the government from our religion.
Yep.
It is to protect religion from the government.
That's right.
And if you look at a certain party, not the Republicans, but if you look at a certain party, their agenda is hell-bent on destroying all people of faith. It's just not Christianity, but it's all people of faith, with the possible exception of Islamic terrorists. I mean,
right.
They seem to be in favor of those.
They seem to get a pass. They do. But you know what, Judge Ginn, when you talk about the clamping down on free speech, they felt it was so important. They made free speech and the freedom to assembly, the freedom to worship, that was number one.
Yeah.
And then they made number two, Second Amendment, because they knew after number one, people would need to be able to defend themselves. So we have the longest running constitution in the history of nations. We have the longest history as a nation of peaceful transfers of power. And we even went to war with ourselves over states' rights and slavery, and still remained a nation by the grace of God. And so we have to vote based on what you want. And if you want freedom and you want to have your God-given liberties that are protected by our Constitution, not given but protected, if you want those things to be still as they are today, then you have to vote for that. And otherwise, you're voting for Marxism and you're voting for people who have admitted, because that's the thing. Everyone's ripped the masks off in 2024. Yeah. Governor Waltz has said that he doesn't believe that everyone has the right to free speech. Vice President Harris.
Want to cut down on the misinformation.
Well, she said that, it's a privilege to be able to use X, which is formerly Twitter, and that Elon Musk might not deserve that privilege anymore because he doesn't toe the line that she toes. So, you know, don't make it about party. Don't make it about, because if you make it about party, then it becomes identity.
Yeah.
And then you feel like I can't vote for him, or I can't vote against her, because, you know. I've never been so insulted as every time a Democrat has told me that I need to vote for this one or that one because they're black. So this is my appearance here, but inside me is an eternal being.
Right.
And I'm gunning for the eternity with Jesus.
Absolutely.
The created body, heaven, I'm gunning for that. So I have to vote for what God's word says, as opposed to some, you know, skin reality that is my temporary condition for here.
Well, you know, as I go around and talk with folks, really, I see there's two issues here. Number one is our loyalty to the kingdom of God, and that comes first, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to act in such a way as to, as best we can, follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's paramount. We all understand that.
Yep.
But at the same time, I think as Christians, in a new world in which we live in, where really the government is supposed to be the people, supposedly the people, we have an obligation as Christians to influence our government.
Yeah.
And if we don't do that, I think we're not being Christ-like, because Jesus himself said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's.
And he wasn't just talking about taxes.
No, he's not.
He was talking about voting.
Absolutely.
He was talking about poll watching and volunteering to run a precinct. He was talking about maybe knocking doors. And while you're there knocking that door, maybe the person looks like they could use some prayer. So can I pray with you? There's no law against any of that. And as Christians, we are mandated to do that. He wants us to do that so that we can save the lost. That's why he has us here.
I want to ask you a question. And this is, you know, for those of you who don't know, Stacy and I have been friends for a couple of years now, and we just have a great time together.
We've been doing some good radio.
And I can talk to Stacy in a way that I might not be able just to talk to anybody, but I'm just going to confess to you that I have one issue with being Christ-like, and that I need to influence what's going on around me. But I have to tell you that sometimes I have to fight my base instinct to rip somebody's head off.
Judge Ginn has not heard some of the episodes of Stacy on the Right, where a troll will call in and they'll get me going about the thing that I have been enraged about over the past couple of years is the sex trafficking.
Oh, gosh.
Because it impacts a lot. There's a lot of children. I mean, women are sex trafficked too, but it's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And there are foreign kids who are being sex trafficked into the country. We've lost track of them. DHS has lost track of 350,000 of them. And sometimes I'll have someone call in and try to mock me for being a Trump supporter. Yeah. And I just will ask them, well, you know, forget Trump. Let's say it's DeSantis, especially back in the primary when he was still running. And I'll say, you know what, do you agree with the sex trafficking? And they can never say no, even though they know it's wrong. And I believe they probably are grossed out by it.
Yeah.
But if I say, do you believe in the sex trafficking? They can't say no, because then they know they're trapped, because then they're voting for it. Because if you're voting for the Democrats this year, you're voting for sex trafficking. And then I just get to yelling. And I had someone email me. He was like, you're the angriest Black woman I've ever heard on the radio. And I was like, I am not. I am an angry Christian grieving over children who are, it's one thing to kill them in the womb, and that's horrible. But it's another thing to take children, American children are sex trafficked, and to allow them to be abused in this way. And so, you know, these things happen because we don't stop it.
I agree.
And I'll get to yelling about it, and I will yell for a few minutes about it. And I, you know, sometimes I feel bad about it, because I don't want to have a program where there's yelling, and it's rare, so it's not like it's all the time. But, you know, it has happened a few times where I just literally, I'll come out of my little studio, which is right, and it's kind of in the middle of our house, and my husband's in the family room. And he'll just look up and say, so some troll called in, because he heard me going off. Or my daughter will be home visiting and she'll say, wow, somebody got told off tonight. I'm like, yeah, they did, because they got me going about sex trafficking and how we need to stop it.
Yeah.
And so the righteous indignation that Jesus displayed when he flipped tables in the temple and he was beating them with whips.
I call that whip cord mad.
That's right. He was mad and he went for it. Now, I don't believe we're called to do that all the time, but that's why they call it righteous indignation. It's a real thing. And I believe that the Lord knows my heart. He knows I'm upset about that because it's wrong. Right. And I believe he's even more upset about it than me, and that he has a plan for stopping it. And so I just ask him to please, if there's anything I need to do, Lord, please show me what it is. And I'm going to continue to speak truth. And being upset is, we just can't go to bed angry, right? And we need to forgive. And then we need to get up the next day and try to do it all again.
Well, you know, one of the things that we try to do it, and by the way, at Southern Evangelical Seminary, we said that we're a friend of skeptics. Mm-hmm. We want people to ask the hard questions.
Yeah.
We're not afraid of those hard questions. And so we always want to win the person as opposed to winning the argument.
Sure.
However, like you're just talking about, I'm not so sure, Stacy, that there's not a point in time, in some instances, where Satan has to be rebuked.
Absolutely. And, you know, so he's the devourer. It comes to lie, kill, steal, and destroy. And for me, I'm trying to protect the airwaves, because people are listening, and we have a pretty decent sized number of Democrats who listen to my show. And they'll call me in and say, I listen every night and I disagree with everything that you say, or they'll email me. I disagree with everything that you say, but I still listen. And I think that is the Holy
Marvelous.
Spirit. I'm glad they're there. Yeah. And when they call in to challenge me, they get their time. They get to share what they, and then I sometimes have to teach them something. Other times I just say, thank you for calling. But yes, there's room for discussion, but the enemy, some people are sold out to him.
Right.
And they're the ones who are going to be gnashing their teeth. That's a sign of anger. When the Bible describes people in eternal damnation and they're gnashing their teeth, they're doing so out of anger, not because they're there, but because they still, even in hell, the worst place in anywhere, they're still angry at God.
Yeah.
They hate him. And there are people who lay up and they just imagine evil. They imagine ways to go against the Most High. And we are to clothe ourselves in righteousness and pick up the warrior stance And we're to go to battle knowing that it's Christ right. in us that enables us to do that. And so, you know, some we're not going to get it right all the time, but God knows our heart.
Yes.
And so, you know, a little bit of anger, I think we can just say, Lord, well, you already know how I feel. You made me and you know I was mad and I was just, Lord, please help me. And I've had that prayer many a night after the radio, many a night.
You know, in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul tells us that there's two motivations for serving the Lord. The first one is the fear of the Lord. And I think we've forgotten that one to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the Steven Spielberg kind of fear. It's the amoeba trying to understand the world of the scientist on the other end of the microscope.
That's correct.
And so if we have this concept of the awesomeness of God, and that's what our world has lost.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost that awesomeness of God, that there's somebody out there a lot bigger than me, and I need to be mindful of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we have the second concept, which is love? It's not my love for God that motivates me. It's God's love for me that motivates me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think that sometimes in our outreach to the world, we forget that these people out there are sometimes wounded.
Mm-hmm.
And they will lash out in ways that, you know, if you got a wounded animal and you're trying to help it, you've got to somehow stabilize that animal before you can help the animal,
you can't
help them.
Or they're going to bite you and injure you. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I've got one last question for you, and I don't want this interview to end, so maybe we can continue it later on like we do on our radio programs.
That's right. Installments.
You know, this is one of the questions that we wrestle with, that our listeners wrestle with, and we're talking about truth, and that's really what's on trial in America.
Mm-hmm.
And you speak so eloquently and so frequently about the importance of family values and biblical principles on your radio program. And by the way, thank you for doing that. So tell our audience, what are some of the practical steps that churches or Christians, families in particular, communities can do in today's social climate? What are some of the practical things that we can do?
Well,
my first guess would go be register and vote.
Of course. Register to vote, serve, you know, go to one of the websites, GOP, TrumpForce47.com, go there and sign up to make phone calls or make texts from your phone. That's for this election cycle. But if we're talking about parents, right? My husband and I have been married for 28 years. We have 3 kids. The oldest is in medical school. The middle one, he graduated in December and he's working. He works for the state of Missouri and he does IT. And then our youngest is a senior and she's studying engineering. And I would say the thing for families is one of the parents, preferably the mom, needs to basically say, I'm laying down my career aspirations so I can raise these children that the Lord gave to me. And I did that. I didn't have much to lay down. I'd only been in the Air Force. You know, I was temping. And then all of a sudden I'm expecting finally after 4 years of marriage. And I was so excited, but I was working and I did try to go back to work. And I lasted 1 week. They let my baby cry. They threw away my breast milk because it separated. And I was like, I told my husband, I said, I've done our budget. We'll have $72 a week extra. I'm cooking 5 nights a week, 7 nights a week. I'm doing whatever we have to do. I'm clipping coupons. Please let me stay home. And instead of him saying no, he said, okay. You can knock me over with a feather. I thought he was going to fight me on it. So we saved all kinds of money. I stayed home. My husband made more money. It seemed like the more I obeyed God, the more my husband was blessed. But I'll tell you, I was determined that I was going to raise them to know God and to be successful in areas where I wasn't, but not so much just for the success of it, but so that they would be equipped.
Yeah.
So that if anything happens to me, they would be able to stand on the truth.
Absolutely.
Without me being there. They don't have to call me or text me and say, what do I believe about abortion? You know, it's our mandate. We are supposed to prepare them to be loosed from the quiver and go out and hit their mark for Christ Jesus. And most parents are just concerned with getting them into the right school or the right success or having them look a certain way, when God has called them to much more than that.
Absolutely.
You don't know what God is going to do with your kids. And so we set our hearts on that. They ended up going to Christian school in middle and high school, and the Lord provided for that. It wasn't something that we could have done on our own, just in the, you know, just the, you know, go to the spreadsheet, not working, but God made it possible. And so I would say, you know, devote yourself to, if you have children, devote yourself to those kids. Pour out your love on those children. Ask God to pour out his love on you, and you pour out your love on your children. Get to know them. Understand them, what makes them tick, what they like, what they don't like. And you might be thinking, oh, so you're like a slave to your kids. Absolutely not. I made up in my mind, Judge, that I would not be their friend until they left my house. And that is exactly what's happened. They're out of my house and we are friends because the Lord has enabled through his work and a little obedience for me. Because I can tell you there were many times where I was like, Lord, this was not your day. Yeah. This day was not your parenting day. But he worked with what I had. And Dr. James Dobson had a prayer in his book. For difficult boys or difficult girls. One of them, raising something boys. I read that book from cover to cover. I printed out the prayer and I stuck it on my mirror and I prayed it every day for a few years. And I know that he answered that prayer. And so that means going to Bible study. It means being a weird Christian, because in America, strong being a Christian willed. Is weird. Strong the strong-willed child. Yeah, and I had one of those, the daughter with the strong will. So I'm telling you, there's nothing God won't do for you and your kids if you ask him to do it. And if you say, because I had to throw away all of my dreams of doing something cool. Only look at me now.
Yeah.
Sitting over here at Southern Evangelical Seminary, talking to Judge Ginn, who got the standing O earlier today. Yeah. Sitting here with you, talking about God and loving him and fearing him. And so I'm telling you, whatever that thing is as a woman that you're like, you know, I went to college for this. You sit on the side and watch God water it and grow it. If you sit on the side for the kids, he'll let you raise them. You'll be close to them. You'll understand them. And then he will give you something to do while the kids are off. You know, they're in college. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And I just texted him earlier. My husband sent pictures of last night because I spoke last night, guys. And then I sent some pictures of, you know, over the wing of the plane because we're landing in Charlotte, but it didn't arrive till today. So this is what God will do for you. If he'll do it for me, he'll certainly do it for you, because I'm not deserving or worthy of any of the things that I feel like God has given to me. But we serve a glorious God, and he will withhold no good thing from us, but he also will pour out. He said, if you obey me, my blessings will run down. They'll run you down. They'll chase you. They'll overtake you, and the blessings of the Lord will run out before you. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm motivated by that.
That sounds good to me.
I'm like, Lord, show me some blessings that are running out in front of me. And that's kind of what this is. Me getting to come to SES, to speak here, to do a breakout session on forgiveness.
Oh, wow.
And I was wondering how many people will come, because it's not a good, you know, it's not a popular topic. No. We have a lot of people in there, and they needed to hear the messages.
Yes, they
did. I was thinking, Lord, thank you, because I have a testimony there, and I was able to share that. So we don't trust God. We think
that's the problem.
Right? But he loves you, and he's better to you than you could ever be to yourself. So trust him and obey him, and then watch him outperform anything you could ever imagine. That's what I have to say for parents. And for the men, lead your household.
I was going to put in a plug for Rod.
Lead your household. That's what my husband does.
I was going to put in a plug for Rod.
Yeah, he leads our household. And I'm submitted to him.
It's a good thing he doesn't talk much.
I know.
He doesn't talk much. Yeah. They don't have a chance to
He doesn't get a word in edgewise. But I am submitted to him. And I will never forget. Yeah. I used to be on Christian radio. Yeah. And a guy called in and he was like, I can't imagine what your husband goes through, you know, being married to you, because you're so opinionated. And I said, oh, he gets to eat lasagna. He never cleans a toilet. He never mops. He comes home to hot food every night. I'm submitted to him. I'm talking to you about political issues. Yeah. Of course I'm forceful, but at home, I am my husband's wife. He was surprised because he thought I'm like this all the time. I am kind of like this all the time, but my husband is the head of our household. So I hope that people will understand that God wants to bless you, and that you're going in this life, you will have trouble. But he also said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So what have you got to lose?
Well, you're exactly right, Stacy. And the one thing that I would take from your story is that God is a God of order.
Mm-hmm.
God has ordered our ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to tell my children, they would, you know, I have four girls, and each one of them would come up, you love me the best, am I your favorite, you know? And so I would, you know, one of my standard lines is, you're my favorite because you're the closest one to me right now. But
I would say, you're my favorite oldest child.
Yeah,
you're my favorite youngest child.
One of the things that I would tell them, and they didn't understand, I don't think when they were younger, but I think when they got to be older, they began to understand. I would say, darling, I love your mother more. Because that is the basis of our family, is the love between the husband and the wife, as God ordained it to be, in the proper position, not one over the other, but in a common partnership mm-hmm. that God ordains and gives everybody the place and the position that they need to be in that. And, you know, I taught Ephesians 5, and as I was doing that, submission is totally misunderstood in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. It's not this, oh, I've got to bow down to him and worship him and all of that. It's a respect. It's more of a respect. And as I taught that, I realized that the call on the man is far greater than the call on the wife.
It is.
And one thing, am I worthy to be respected by Lynn?
Oh.
And am I treating Lynn like Christ treats his church? Mm-hmm. We could spend hours talking about
it's
this,
a whole,
Stacey.
That's a podcast series.
Yeah.
But I will say, the further into marriage you get, the more you understand the difficulty of that paradigm, and the more God enables you to meet the call. Because without him, we can't do it. But with him, we can do it. And I could imagine, you know, being my husband, the responsibility he's had, you know, taking care of the five of us and all the things he's been able to do for our family. And I just thank God that he's given me a husband who cares for me and for our kids, and who has been a great father to our children.
Absolutely.
And then that the Lord, he has allowed it, you know, that because he's allowing it, whatever it is, he's allowing it. And so we have to acknowledge the sovereignty of our God and the goodness of our Lord.
Well, Stacey, I love you. Keep up the
I'm
good
so
work.
I'm so grateful that we got to have a radio interview.
It's wonderful.
And then so, y'all, we met at National Religious Broadcasters, and he and his wife, we met downstairs outside the exhibit hall. We sit there and talk for about 30 minutes, and he's like, you got to come and speak at SES. And I told my husband, I said, boy, it would be something if I go speak at SES. He said, well, he just told you that he wants you to come. And I said, I know, but I mean, I'm kind of shocked because I'm, you know, and then here we are. So it's
well, now
it
you're
such
a regular.
Blessing.
You're a regular, so you're going to have to come back.
I will. I had so much fun. There's so many great people here that I've met. It's just been so nice. If you guys have never been to SES, you should come to Rock Hill, South Carolina. It's beautiful, just like Judge Ginn said.
Well, look, 125 Cirrus.
That's right.
Stacy on the right.
That's right.
7 to 9.
No, it's 8 to 11 Central, 9 to midnight East.
Okay.
On Monday through Friday. Right. And if you don't have Sirius, you can watch me on Salem News Channel. We're on your smart TV, and that's 5 p.m. East every day.
Good. And pick up the book. Tell us the name of your book again.
Eternally Cancel Proof.
And I bet you can get it on Amazon, can't you?
Yes, immediately on Amazon. it's a guide for courageous Christians navigating the political battlefront, and you can get that on Amazon.
Great. Stacey, I can't wait till we talk again.
I know. I already told Chris. I was like, when we get back from SES, we're having Judge Ginn on. He's like, just let me know when. So we'll be reaching out.
Anytime.
You guys
I'm ready
can listen to
go. To
that. It's so great. Judge, thank you so much for inviting me to speak. It's been so great.
God love you, Stacey. We'll go with our prayers for you and Rod and your family
and
all you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Truth on Trial. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow us and share this conversation with your friends so that we can continue to impact the kingdom together worldwide.